Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast.
Serotalk Podcast.
Welcome to the Serotalk Podcast, your portal to the accessible digital lifestyle.
www.serotalk.com.
A production of Serotech Corporation, creators of System Access, the System Access Mobile Network, and SA2Go. Learn about new technology, cool software, useful websites, education, information, entertainment, user comments, and much more. And now, here's your host, Michael Loft.
Welcome to Serotalk. Podcast number 28. This is Michael Loft.
I'm Ricky Inger.
And I'm Mike Calvo, and we're going to make a total ruination of all the seriousness that Ricky and Michael have brought to the podcast in the last few months.
Hey, Mikey's back. What's up, bro? We haven't seen you in a while, man.
I haven't seen you guys either. What's up with that? I've been gallivanting around the country and doing demonstrations, and are you following me on Twitter? You know what I'm doing.
You're posting all sorts of articles about buying stuff. So that's what you're doing.
I'm not buying it. I want that stuff.
Yeah, you had some really good posts yesterday on kind of managerial stuff about team leadership.
I read a lot of different stuff. It's kind of interesting to share it with people and to get people's feedback. Some of it is blindness specific. A lot of it is not weird stuff that I go through. If you want to follow me on Twitter, it's twitter.com/Mike Calvo. I'm also on Facebook, facebook.com/Mike Calvo. This is a shameless request for followers on Twitter. I want to get to the million, man.
Yeah, you could always rig it where you automatically added to people. There are a few folks out there like that.
Oh, man, I hate it with these bots and stuff now and with the Twitter marketing. I mean, I tried it for a little bit and it just got to be so bizarre and people got really ticked off because one day I sent out a direct message to people and I was not aware of that level of netiquette. People got really ticked off that I sent them a direct message that said, listen to the Serotalk podcast. It's like, how dare you?
Mine is twitter.com/Ricky_Inger. But because of my name, I guess, the ones I always get are, check out hot Asian cuties in your area. And they're sort of marketing to me as if I were a single gentleman.
What is this obsession with hot Asians in your area? I mean, there are so many other different hot ethnicities out.
That is absolutely true. I don't know why they focus on the hot Asian cuties and not the hot Cuban cuties.
Say Cuban cuties 15 times. It ends up Cuban cooties.
Don't you have that?
Some would say.
Well, this is cool. I'm excited that we got some blab line here. We got a phone call and some emails. So we like that. By all means, send us email to resources@serotalk.com or call the blab line and leave a voice blab. Put in your 2 cents, so to speak, at 866-997-BLAB. Blab spelled 2522. Let's do the first of the two emails here, and I welcome your 2 cents.
Hi, Michael. I wondered if you would consider doing a Tech Chatter podcast on mobility. I would like to know how many people use guide dogs and what types of obstacles they have to overcome, such as not being let in business premises and food chains. I wonder how many have been given a frosty reception when they do enter after showing their card. Over here in the UK, a woman's guide dog was mauled by a pit bull terrier, and the guide dog had to be taken in for an operation due to the nature of the savage attack. The dog owner of this vicious dog was seen to be drinking and wasn't in control of his dog. The poor woman, who is 57, had suffered a traumatic shock, and something like this can affect her confidence in the long run. I would also like to compare the use of the dog to the cane and see which people prefer to use, because using the guide dog can give one a lot of independence, and on the other hand, people of the general public seem to assume the dog takes the person to their destination and tells them when to get off the bus. This doesn't give the guide dog user much credit in one sense. If someone uses a cane, then the social barrier is less likely to be broken, and people on the other hand will give them more credit for getting around, as they can't assume the cane makes any decisions. I'm looking at getting a guide dog, but I need to weigh up the pros and cons first. It would be nice to hear how often people groom their dogs during the working week. I would love to listen to a tech chat covering this subject. Sakib.
Speaking to one specific portion of this email where it was stated that, you know, maybe the public gives the guide dog a lot more credit than maybe they should. I was in Washington, D.C. recently and was waiting to cross the street, and the light changed and I stopped for just a minute before going. I wasn't sure if somebody was going to turn in front of me. And then just as I was about to step off, a lady beside me said, "Oh, so you have to tell the dog when to go? I thought the dog was able to read the don't walk sign or the walk sign and go when it was safe." And I said, "No, I'm the brains of the operation, and the dog is responsible for getting me there safely, but I have to make the decision." So people do really think these dogs do our thinking for us.
I've never run into that, except for, you know, can the dog see the color of the lights? I don't agree, though, with public assumption that we're kind of less better travelers because of the dogs. I personally find myself to be a much better traveler because of the dog. And quite honestly, I've gotten at 41, almost 42 years of age now, I've just gotten a lot more comfortable with who I am as a blind person. Who gives a damn about public perception anymore? It really comes down to the fact of, does it work for you? Does it make you comfortable? Because ultimately, the reality is that if you're uncomfortable with a situation, whether it be walking with a cane, whether it be somebody asking you if you saw that movie versus if you heard it, the moment you're uncomfortable and the sighted person perceives that, they're going to become uncomfortable and it's going to become this vicious circle. So really, if you're comfortable with a guide dog and you really think it may be for you, go out and get one. Put all those biases aside. For me, at least, it was an epiphany when I got my guide dog that, man, I wish I had done this so much earlier in my life. And when I went to the mall and was swarmed by all the lovely ladies that wanted to look at the dog, even though my wife beat me when I got home, it was a great experience. I said, man, I should have done this back in high school. I love it for me. And I would never go back to a cane. Sure, you don't have to feed a cane. Put the cane in your pocket and it doesn't matter anymore. And, you know, it's just an object. My dog is a lot more than an object to me. I just couldn't see myself going back. Is it different? Yes. Is it like dealing with another personality? Absolutely. But he's just made much more sense to me as a blind person. And a lot more people are comfortable, at least I perceive it that way, talking to me. Either if they can't talk to me about me, they can talk to me about the dog. And it makes me a lot more approachable. Now, I believe Sakib is in the UK, and the difference between here and the UK, and this kind of tripped me out, I live in Orlando, and we have a lot of folks from the UK that come to visit, and they all reach down and pat the dog on the head or scratch his ears or whatever when he's just standing still. And here in the States, we know don't touch a working dog. In the UK, it seems that you're allowed to touch them when they're in harness, but the handle's not in the handler's hand.
I guess things are very different in terms of training and various other things. I know that in Australia, your dog is sort of picked out for you and you may do home training or class training, but you get to meet your dog and just hang out with your dog for a bit before entering training, or at least that's the way it is for some folks in Australia. So it's different everywhere. And I do want to say that while I use a dog and I really wish that I had made the decision to do that much earlier, dogs aren't for everyone. And it's as Mike said, you got to do what you're comfortable with. And if you're happy with your cane, there's no reason why you should feel peer pressure to go get a dog just because all the other blind people are doing it.
Casey Matthews, he's worked at Serotech in the past in tech support, and he now works here at the Lighthouse in Central Florida. He got a dog. Him and his wife, Judy, both got dogs at the same time, and Casey didn't like it. And the dog actually went back after about 3 or 4 or 5 months watching his wife and realizing, wow, that just the amount of independence that she had, he actually went back and got another dog. Now, I'm certainly not telling people go and get a dog and try it and then send it back. And I mean, this isn't the home shopping network for puppies, but it really is something that you've got to try before you throw out the idea, because it really does change your life and it gives you a level of independence that you will never have with a stick. I don't care what a good cane traveler you are. I've met some really good cane travelers in my life. I was a relatively good, if not really good, cane traveler before. And the dog just runs circles, no pun intended, around me with a cane.
I guess that was one of my concerns for any first-time dog user, is not knowing what the protocols are, so not knowing if his dog is not performing up to snuff unless he's interacting with other people or at least on some kind of email list, talking to other people, or hopefully during the training process, the instructor caught any abnormalities. But sometimes the dog gets home and gets distracted by family and other environmental things, right?
Well, it takes a year. I mean, it really does take a while. You know, a dog is not a mechanical object. The two become one, literally, over the first year.
Yeah, and the training does not end at 28 days.
No, not even. If anything, it's just beginning, because it's an ongoing process, and you get to know your dog gets to know you. The one thing I will say is you must be consistent. If that dog sees that you're a wishy-washy person, the dog will take full advantage of that, because dogs are black and white. There is no gray. So if you don't want the dog to eat things off the floor, do not ever let him eat things off the floor. If you don't want him to sniff other people, Do not ever let him get away with sniffing other people. If you don't want people to pet him, do not ever let people pet him. It's not a matter of, oh, well, today I feel like people can pet my dog so they can pet. That confuses the dog. It's like a child. And if you're inconsistent with your children, you're going to get inconsistent children. Same thing with your dog. The dog is looking to you for leadership. If you don't provide him leadership, then he will assume that he is the leader and he will do everything for you. And you may not be very happy with the outcome.
Sakib did ask about how often do you groom the dog?
I brush my dog every 2 or 3 days. He's a lab, so he's got lots of hair. Keep his coat looking nice and shiny and keep him from shedding. And I brush him fairly often. I rub him down with these pet wipes that give a little oil to the coat and they smell nice as well. I only bathe him once a month or once every 2 months because if you bathe them, their skin does dry out a lot. But as long as you are being consistent about brushing them so that they're not shedding a lot, and you'll know based on which breed of dog you have just how much that dog sheds, brushing their teeth, cleaning their ears once a week, as long as you do that and keep your dog healthy and not smelling like he's just rolled around in the mud for 2 or 3 hours, you're good.
I have a Vizsla. That's V-I-Z-S-L-A, pronounced Vizsla or Vizsla, depending on who you talk to. He's a Hungarian hunting dog, and he's not a common dog that people use for guide dogs. There's only two schools in the country that provide them, and that is Pilot Dogs out of Ohio and Southeastern Guide Dogs, which is where I'm from, here in Florida. Jackson has very short hair. It's a very fine short hair. I probably brush him once every week and a half. Generally, when my wife starts to scream saying, the dog's hair is flying all over the place. It's just so fine. He doesn't just shed hair like your lab does. Jackson, of course, I don't know why, but he seems to have this thing about his nails grow faster than fast. So I have one of those little petty paws things that I, you know, file his nails down. I hate cutting them, even though I have before. I generally take him for a little manicure, and he loves this.
I do that for my dog, too. Just take him to the groomer every 3 months or so and do the upkeep in the meantime. But when he goes to the groomer, he gets a little scarf, and it's so cute, and he gets his nails trimmed and gets to be fawned over by the people grooming him. So it's nice.
There is maintenance involved, but it's almost like bonding, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
And the dog likes it.
Oh, the dog loves it. It is a bonding thing, at least for me and my dog. We're just sitting there quietly, and he's getting all brushed, and he loves the way it feels, and it's just some together time where we're not playing and we're not working. It's just focused on each other doing this quiet grooming activity.
Myself, at least, just have gotten to such a point of refusing to accept what public opinion is about my persona, the way I conduct myself as far as my mobility aids. It works for me. I love the dog. The dog loves me. It's very handy. And when none of those people that I've tried to live to please all my life are there, that dog is, and he gets me out of a whole lot of pickles. So it's how comfortable are you with who you are?
You got it. I've been in places where I did get a very frosty reception the first time I went in. There's a restaurant that we love. They would want to sit us in the corner.
Would you like to sit in the back of the restaurant or perhaps outside? No.
Interestingly enough, after 3 or 4 times of coming in, they were able to see that my dog wasn't jumping up on the table and grabbing food off people's plates and wasn't trying to run into the kitchen and grab food off the counters.
Your dog doesn't do that? Oh, you mean they're not supposed to?
Apparently not. After a while, they really kind of got happy to see us. It's like, here you are again. Cool. Instead of, oh no, I hoped they would go away after last time.
Yeah, it really does take some getting used to, and people aren't used to it, but that's okay. It gives us an opportunity to talk to people, to share who we are. The biggest issue that some of us have ever had in our lives is that we have not stopped and really explained to people how we do things, why we do what we do. If we did that one person, two people at a time, we would really get to a point where the public would really understand, because a lot of folks don't run into blind people every day. And if they do, they kind of see you across the street, or they see this or they see that, or even they may have met one blind person and based their entire view on all blind people in this one person. And that's not fair either. Every single one of us are individual. There are nice blind people. There are stupid blind people. There are jerky blind people. There are great blind people. There are smart blind people, dumb blind people. Just people, man. Unfortunately, we do have to reach out just a little bit more, not to be quote unquote normal. I hate that. how they used to tell us to be normal when we were kids. And I grew up in an era where that was a big deal. Ricky, I don't know about you, but Michael, you and I are close to the same age. And were you ever beat over the head with you had to be normal?
Yeah, I guess enough that I wanted that.
Yeah. What the heck is normal anyway? When you look at the world we live in, maybe the world was a little more stable back then, but the world looks pretty unstable right now. And I can show you some crazy abnormalities in society right now that I don't consider to be normal in my life. The fact of being normal is just not a fair statement. Be yourself. Be who you are and be proud of it and be excited by yourself and the culture that we are embracing as blind people, especially with being able to reach out and be together online and communicate and then meet face to face and do all these exciting things that we do as a community and as individuals in the mainstream.
Let's look at this other email here. I think a gentleman wanting to get some Christmas ideas for his lovely wife.
Hi, Mike, Ray, Brian, Ricky, and all. Love System Access and love your podcasts. Would love to see you guys do one on accessible MP3 players, as my wife, who is sighted, is thinking about purchasing one for use in our vehicle, but of course she would like it to be accessible for me as well. Also would be interested on hearing from any one of you who have had experience with in-vehicle GPS systems. Again, something that my wife could use while driving, but something I might be able to access as well. Mark Millard in Edmonton, Alberta, Canada.
MP3 and GPS systems for our spouse that we can use as well. And I know, Mike, you've done this.
I've done a lot of work with GPS. I've had everything from the Trekker to the Street Pilot in my car for a while. TomTom, my son has a TomTom. Those are all cool, but of course not accessible. My favorite one, of course, and I know that one podcast can't go by without talking about the iPhone, but my latest favorite and the one that I continue to go back to and works for me great is Navigon for the iPhone. It just keeps getting better and better. They did an update where now it uses traffic to dictate what route you're going to use. Pedestrian stuff could get better. We are working with Navigon along with other blind people, suggesting to Navigon what they need to do to this $99 application to bring it up to blind people's specs. And it's not that far off. When you look at products like $1,500 for the latest Freedom Scientific product that they did, the crazy
price. Street Talk.
It has nothing to do with the company. It just has to do with the fact that it's, hello, $1,500 for a piece of software with a receiver. I feel the same way about a lot of the Sendero offerings. And again, it's not a criticism of the company per se. It is a criticism of the pricing. That kind of junk has to stop. Wayfinder, it works great with Talks, and it works pretty darn well with MobileSpeak for Symbian as well. So there are a lot of solutions out there. Unfortunately, something that she can use when you're not there and you can use when she's there that can stay in the car, I don't know of anything. I'm hoping that this Captain GPS that they're talking about will be brought up to spec. A couple things I've heard kind of behind the scenes about Captain. Captain was actually a product for the mainstream that they wanted to make work for blind people. And I don't know what happened that ILA is starting to carry it ahead of time. I'd say that as a community, we need to cut them some slack, give them some constructive criticism. They are not a blindness specific product. They were a product that was made for the mainstream. Just like Navigon, they've got some issues that we need to tell them as consumers with a dollar or two in our pocket ready to buy their product. And let's be constructive. Let's call them up, contact them by email and say, listen, this is what you need to do so you can embrace what we do as blind travelers. And instead of criticizing, I've seen a lot of criticism on Twitter, a lot of criticism on the list. And it's just not fair, folks. They are trying to get into our market and they're trying to find out what we need to do. So we need to reach out to these guys and say, this is what you're doing, because at the end of the day, it's a much more economically viable solution than any of the other quote-unquote blindness-specific GPS systems out on the market. Take the MP3 thing. What do you think, Ricky? What have you played with of late?
For MP3 players, obviously my choice is currently the iPhone. Works great for blind and sighted folks, so iPhone or iPod Touch. But if you don't really want to go for the touch screen, there are some MP3 players. The iPod Shuffle is the one I'm thinking of, but there are other screenless MP3 players as well. The screenless MP3 player certainly wasn't designed specifically for blind people, so it's equally accessible to both, although you have kind of minimalist control over the thing. What I would actually recommend is an open source solution called Rockbox. You can go to www.rockbox.org. And there is a list of supported MP3 players. They include things like the Sansa, iRiver, which is what I have and still makes an excellent portable recording solution. What you can do is enable speech on this device by installing the Rockbox open source firmware, and you still have all the nice buttons that do what they're supposed to and the appropriate messages flashing up on the screen for the sighted folks. You can enable or disable voice at your leisure and be able to navigate as a blind person as well.
The DS50 and DS60, who makes those?
That's the Olympus.
Yeah.
And I don't remember what capacity those are. And I think they make great little voice recorders, and they certainly do play MP3s as well.
You're right, though.
Yeah, and are the Creative Zenstones still out there?
You can find them here and there, but they've got the one with the speaker. They are made for everybody. But if you're going to go down that route, man, you might as well get a Shuffle. It's sexier looking, works with iTunes. It's got voiceover built into it. The Zenstone, the only way to make the Zenstone work that I know of accessible where you can know where you are and everything is using the SamNet browser, where we actually put labels in the device that speak using your current speech. So
right. Otherwise, you just play it and it goes through songs either on Shuffle, I guess, or alphabetically, maybe.
Speaking of voices, I was noticing you're using our new Eloquence voice to read those emails, Michael. I'd be interested in hearing what everybody thinks. What voices do you guys think we should use to read the emails? Does Eloquence do it for you? Do you want to hear Julie or Paul or Kate? How do you guys feel? Email us resources@serotalk.com.
Before we play the phone call, why don't we listen to a great segment produced by Ricky Anger? A lot of people have heard of something called RIM, or Remote Incident Manager, not having a clue what it is, or many people not realizing that one of the many powerful services or features that Serotech offers is the ability to remote control into someone else's computer, whether for fixing the device or teaching. So why don't we listen to this?
At Serotalk.com, we are best known for bringing you the very latest and greatest in technology. But today I want to focus on something that is not brand new. In fact, it's been around for a little over 3 years now, and it's one of those things that's only getting better with age. I'm talking about the remote access suite of products from Serotech, and specifically I'm going to focus on the Remote Incident Manager. In a previous podcast, we have spoken about the remote training and support feature available to those of you with a SamNet subscription. With this feature, you can remotely connect to another person's computer, assuming that that person is a Serotech customer. They can have system access or they can have SamNet, as long as they are a Serotech customer and as long as, of course, they accept your remote request. You'll be able to enter their username or account number and remotely control their machine in order to do training or troubleshooting. But we understand that not everyone is a Serotech customer, and in fact, not everyone needs a screen reader. Still, a lot of people do need some training in terms of how to use various applications or how to use Windows in general, and a lot of people do need assistance when things break. So that's really the purpose of Remote Incident Manager, is to allow these field support technicians or trainers to access the machines of their users out in the field and perform whatever operations they need to. So I want to talk a little about how this works, and then I will demonstrate it in action. With the Remote Incident Manager, there are three components. You have the RIM client, and that is the piece of software installed on the technician's computer or on their System Access Mobile U3 smart drive so that it can be plugged into any computer and you can do remote incidents whether you're at home or whether you're sitting in a coffee shop and somebody calls you in a panic. You can quickly plug in your U3 key to any available machine and take care of their issue. So there's the RIM client. There is the RIM host, and that is the small piece of software that is installed on your user's machine, the person's machine that you would like to connect to. Then you have the Serotech server in the middle of these two pieces of software, and it's negotiating the connections and things like that. In order to perform a remote incident, you will, of course, have to have the client software installed on your computer, and the host software will need to be installed on your user's computer. You can do this in a couple of different ways. if you happen to have been in the physical presence of this user's computer at some point, you can certainly install the RIM host software manually. But a lot of times that really isn't practical. You may be in North Carolina and the person you're supporting may be in Texas. So rather than jumping on a plane just to go and install this tiny little piece of software, it makes a lot more sense to just send an email with a link to the software and walk the individual through installing that. And once it's there, it doesn't go away. So you don't have to do this each time you want to initiate a remote connection. When you have a RIM account, you are provided with an interface on our server which allows you to enter a person's name and email address, at which point our system just sends an automated email containing the appropriate information. The person visits the link in that email and goes through the very simple process of installing the software. Now, I have a 7-year-old who, yes, does have his own computer, and he happens to be sighted, so he doesn't need a screen reader. But there are lots of times when I want to assist him with doing homework or navigating a particular website or something like that. So I need to be able to connect to his machine on a fairly regular basis. And turns out I have just found a website that I know he will like, and I want to go and add that to his bookmarks. So I'm going to initiate a connection to his computer. The first thing I need to do is open the RIM client software on my computer, so I'll do that now.
Remote Incident Manager 1. Open a remote incident. Link.
Open a remote incident is the first option here.
Set up a RIM client key. Link.
I can set up a RIM client key, meaning that I can convert my current System Access Mobile key to also contain the RIM software.
Disable text-to-speech output. Link.
I can disable text-to-speech output, and this is great for organizations who have both blind and sighted technicians, and the blind technician may need speech, but the sighted technician may be a little distracted by that, so it's possible to disable that output.
Exit. Link.
That one's pretty self-explanatory.
About Remote Incident Manager, link.
And that one, too, is pretty self-explanatory. You can look at the version number that is currently installed. So let's press number 1 here to open a remote incident.
Open remote incident.
I've just been prompted to enter a keyword for this incident. Now, what's going to happen here is that the keyword I enter is going to need to match with the keyword that our user enters in just a moment. You don't need to use the same keyword every time, and you also don't need to worry about whether or not someone else, say in Australia, happens to be doing a remote incident at the exact same time you are and using the exact same keyword you are. The RIM software is configured specifically to match between particular clients and hosts. So only your RIM client is only listening for connections from your RIM host software that's been installed out in the field. Another interesting thing about this keyword is that it doesn't need to be a 16 alphanumeric character string or anything like that. It can be something as simple as the spacebar. Again, the software is only looking to make sure that the keywords match. So if you have a user whose keyboarding skills aren't the best, you don't need to worry about them having to type this very long string of characters. So, I'm now ready to initiate this incident, and I'll start by entering the keyword on my end. I'm just going to choose the space bar, so I'll press that, and press the enter key.
Send in request, please wait, button cancel.
Now we've sent the request, now it's time for the user on the other end to press a particular hotkey, which happens to be Control Shift Backspace.
Please type the keyword for this incident and press enter.
Okay, we just heard please type the keyword for this incident and press enter. This is not a screen reader, which just spoke. It is a pre-recorded prompt. So, and it also is visible on the screen. I'm going to press the space bar here and enter.
Your request has been accepted.
1-0949.
Please wait. Starting system access on the remote machine. Please wait. System access is ready.
And I am now connected to the remote computer. As I mentioned before, my son has no need for a screen reader. So you did hear that system access was being started on the remote computer, but this is for my benefit, not for his benefit. So there isn't any feedback from system access coming from his speakers, but you all will be able to hear as I navigate around this computer. As I mentioned, I want to add a bookmark, so I'll go to the Start menu.
Start menu. Internet, Mozilla Firefox.
And he is using Firefox as his default browser, whereas mine is Internet Explorer. I'm going to launch this.
Taskbar. Google Mozilla Firefox. Google tab. Google search. Editable text. Blank.
Google is the home page there, and that is now loaded. Now, I want to open a site that I'd like to bookmark, so I'll do that now.
Search bookmarks in his W. Period S E I C I period www spelling C com. Start by entering your spelling words, then
spelling
select Test Me,
City
Teach Me, or Play a Game.
Com.
Heading Enter
and
Words.
There it is. Now I'd like to bookmark this. I'll press Alt B here.
Menu opened. Bookmarks. Bookmark this page. Control D.
And that's what I want to do, so I'll press Enter.
Menu closed.
That page has now been bookmarked. Now, let's assume that I have forgotten some information on my home computer, and I need to go over and look at whatever that information is before I'm able to continue here on the remote session. I can minimize this session and be back on my home machine. I'll do that by bringing up the RIM menu with Shift Modifier Escape.
Remote Access Menu, Minimize Session, M.
Minimize Session is the first option there, so I will do that.
Socializer. Socializer, Manage Social Network Accounts, Link.
And now I'm back in my Socializer window. I can Alt-Tab here, and I'm going to see the remote session in my Alt-Tab order.
iTunes. My Documents. Saratech Intranet. Remote Session DELL 410. Remote Session DELL 410.
There's the remote session with the name of the computer that I'm remotely accessing, and I've let go of Alt and Tab. Now I'm back into this remote session. There are some very interesting options in the RIM menu that I'd also like to show you, so we'll access that again.
Remote access menu, minimize session, disable visual output, V.
I can disable visual output. This does save bandwidth, so if you have no need to see the screen at all and you do want to conserve bandwidth, you can do this. You can also disable visual output when first initiating the session, and I'll show you that in a bit.
Disable text-to-speech output, T. Start voice conversation, V. Transfer files, A. Send Ctrl-Alt-Delete, D. Reboot and reconnect, R. Close session, C. Minimize session, M.
And there we are back to the beginning. So as you can see, some very powerful options here. The one I'd like to show now is reboot and reconnect. I will warn you that this feature is not like using the traditional Windows method for shutting down or restarting the computer, that is doing it from the Start menu. Rather, this is like pressing the reset button on the remote computer. So if there are files open that need to be saved and things like that, be sure and take care of that before utilizing this feature. I don't have anything open that I need to be concerned about at the moment, so
close session, reboot and reconnect, R.
I'm going to reboot and reconnect my son's machine.
Warning, you are about to send an emergency reboot command to the remote computer. If you do this, the computer will reboot immediately without giving any open applications a chance to shut down gracefully. If any open applications have unsaved data, the data will be lost. Are you sure you want to proceed? Yes button, Alt Y.
Yes, I am sure.
Remote session, DELL 410.
What you heard there was the indicator that I had been disconnected from that computer, and it is now restarting. I have the system access working sound as we wait for the machine to restart. This machine is on a wireless connection, so once it has restarted, will need to give it a bit to reestablish its connection wirelessly before RIM will automatically connect us again. There we have the familiar Windows XP startup sound. And now we're just waiting for the machine to reestablish its wireless connection, and then it will reestablish my connection to it.
Social network accounts. Link.
Starting system access on the remote machine. Please wait. System access is ready.
Remote session. DLL 410.
And there we are. We have reconnected. And I can do anything that I need to do on this computer. However, I've added my bookmark, which is what I came to do, so I'm done with this particular computer. I'm going to close the session now by pressing Control Modifier Escape.
Remote access menu, minimize session, close session, C.
And closing the session.
Remote session, DELL 410. Socializer, comment on this incident. Comment on this incident. You may enter a comment on this incident here. Editable text. Blank.
Now I'm presented with the option to comment on this incident. And this is a nice way to document what was done during a particular training or troubleshooting session. And you'll be able to look back at these comments using the interface, which is a part of your RIM account. So I'll enter a comment.
Added. Book. Firefox. Restarted. Reconnected. Finish. Button. Windows Internet Explorer. Your comment has been submitted. OK button. Remote Incident Manager. 1. Open a remote incident. Link.
And now we're back to the RIM client home screen. So we've seen how well RIM works on a machine that does not have a screen reader installed, but what about those that do? As trainers and as technicians, we often encounter people using any number of different screen reading solutions. And rather than insisting that everyone use one particular solution, we want to be able to support every user, no matter what screen reading solution they are currently using. So I'd like to demonstrate that now. In order to do that, I need to set up a remote incident with someone, and I'm going to choose Richard Wells because he's always involved in testing things. He likes to test stuff and see how well various solutions work with various applications. So I need to first speak with Richard. And if you think about it, this is generally how you would begin a remote incident. Either somebody calls you and they indicate that they need some assistance, or perhaps you have something scheduled for Wednesdays at 2:00 and you want to be able to indicate to somebody that you're ready to begin the incident. So we'll first make contact by phone. We could do this, of course, by instant messenger or any number of other ways. I'll call Richard now. Hello. I am in the midst of doing a remote incident manager demo, and I'd like you to be my guinea pig. What do you say? All right, cool. Let's decide on a keyword here. How about just demo? Does that work for you? All right, cool.
Remote incident manager.
I'm going
remote
to now
remote
open
incident man one. Link. Open the remote incident. Open remote incident.
And
incident keyword. Editable.
I'll type in my keyword.
Demo. Disable visual output.
I think rather than staying on the phone, I'd like to start a voice conversation, so I'll press the tab key here.
Start a voice conversation. Checkbox. Not checked.
Check this box.
Voice conversation audio quality. Drop-down list.
And
broadband.
We've got a good connection, so we can have our conversation be broadband quality. I'll leave that as it is.
Open incident button. Sending
and
request.
I've now pressed the
button. Cancel.
Open incident button. So if you want to do your
reading,
you can order
in 2423.
Please wait.
Here we go.
Voice conversation started.
Arrow.
Window Eyes 7.11.
Aha.
Remote session. Richard
Wells
XP.
You are using Windows Eyes 7.11.
I am indeed.
I'm going to hang up the phone here since we have a voice conversation established. Bye-bye.
Sounds good. Bye.
Funny to say goodbye even though you're still here.
Yes.
So here I am, and I can type format C colon if I wanted to, but I don't. Let's just open Richard's start menu.
Now remember, Window Eyes doesn't focus anything on the start menu. It just opens the start menu.
Rather than me navigating, I'm going to let you
spreadsheet, email message, presentation, web page, or database.
Yep, we can just take a quick trip through the start menu. And in fact, when you're ready, we can open a new Word document. All right, why don't you show just going through the start menu for a bit and then open it from programs.
Sure.
Set program access and default set. Windows catalog W. Windows update W. My Bluetooth places M. Programs P pull down. 7-zip 7 pull down. ACP radio tuner A pull accessories A pull down. All in play A pull down. Alpha PC 6 A pull down. Amazon A pull down. Creative C pull down. Debugging tools for Windows D pull down. Duxbury D pull down. eCleaner E pull down. Epson E pull down. Evening New Bible E pull down. FS Reader 2.0. Games E pull down. Gold Wave E pull down.
Plenty of stuff there. And I got all kinds of stuff. Microsoft Office M pull down. Microsoft Office M pull down. Microsoft Office tools M pull down. Microsoft Office Word 2003 M. Created edit text and graphics and letters, reports, web pages, or email messages by using Microsoft Office Word. On his computer, and here comes Microsoft Word.
App starting. Microsoft Word. Custom control hourglass.
And you are in the document.
All right.
So just to let you know, we are in the main document window. I can read the status line.
Page 1:11:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:1:
function, I'm going to type
TS space space T space.
And
this is a test.
That's what I wrote.
When?
And there's a blank line. Now Richard can type something back.
THS space IS space A space space N O T E R space T E F T comma space S O space T A T H T back.
And I can read that.
Let's read that. So take that. So Richard and I could collaborate on a document, or I could task him with a particular assignment and sit back and watch and relax while he did as I said, or I could take over his machine and do whatever I needed to do while he sat back and relaxed and watched what I did.
Absolutely.
I'd like to show one more thing now that I'm here on his computer. Let's say that I had a file that I wanted to share with Richard. I would go to the Remote Incident Manager menu that we saw earlier, and I'll do that now.
Remote Access menu, minimize session, M.
Now, Richard on his side does not hear that I've done anything. Whenever I enter this menu, I'm no longer controlling his computer until I escape from that menu.
Disabled, disabled, stop voice con,
so
transfer files.
So I can navigate through this menu and he has no idea what I'm doing.
Now you're hearing System Access speech now, right?
A folder.
That is correct.
One of nine.
Cool.
Now.
C folder, two of nine.
Here I am in the file transfer menu.
D folder.
I'm going to choose my D drive.
Folder date 9/13/2008.
And
Jonathan Colton folder date CodeMonkey MP3.
That particular folder and
CodeMonkey MP3 size 4,546.
That's the file I want to transfer.
Remote now, computer list C folder.
This is a music file, Richard. Any particular drive on this computer that
put it right on my desktop.
J,
so
folder,
basically, you can just
folder.
Go C and then documents and settings, Richard Wells desktop, and just paste it right there.
My dog was yawning. He apparently thinks this is not that exciting.
Debug, documents and settings, all users folder, Richard Wells, SSH folder date, desktop folder, all and play online games, upload files and folders button.
And here we go. I have Jonathan Colton, CodeMonkey.
Ah, yes.
He selected files and folders from local computer D / Jonathan Colton / CodeMonkey MP3 to remote computer C / documents and settings / Richard Wells / desktop / OK button. Cancel button. OK button.
And I'll say OK.
File
here.
Transfers. Upload files and folders button. 1%.
Now we're getting a progress indicator. And my dog still thinks 9%. This is boring.
17%.
We're at 17%. Now, if I wanted to, I could 22%. Disable visual output and save on bandwidth here. But this is a fairly small file, so it'll
26%.
Transfer relatively quickly.
All the way from North Carolina at
40%.
Yeah, imagine if I had to carry this thing to you. Take a lot longer for me to jump on a plane just to bring you this song.
48%.
Yes, I can see it now, you with an attaché case handcuffed to your wrist and a cyanide capsule just in case you are caught.
57%.
But luckily, I don't have to involve myself in that adventure unless I really want to.
66%.
66%. Can I get 70?
70%.
My upload speed is 384 kbps. And that's one thing to keep in mind, that if you do have a slow upload connection speed, it's going to take obviously longer than it will if somebody with something larger, like 1 meg per second upload speed.
100%.
It is done. So now you can go and listen to this very funny song from Jonathan Coulton.
Would you like me to do that?
Sure, why not?
Desktop, documents list view 1 of 36. JAWS 11.0.
Oh, it's CodeMonkey, so C.
CodeMonkey.mp3 36.
Ah, here we are.
CodeMonkey.mp3 36 of 36. App starting. Windows Media Player Custom Control. Arrow. Hourglass. Custom Control. Arrow.
Now, very faintly from Richard's side, you can hear this playing. So, the song was playing from Richard's side, but I'm not automatically going to hear his music. All I really need to hear is his screen reader, and that's exactly what I do hear. However, I could have stopped the file from playing. Even though I didn't hear it over here, I could still have control of his media player, and I could press Control-S to stop it. So
that's
I can pretty much do anything I want. I am, for the moment, done wreaking havoc, though. So I will say thank you to Richard Wells, and I've gone ahead and disconnected. As before, I was prompted to enter a comment for the incident so I can keep my records up to date and so on. But as you can see there, I was able to do all of the tasks that I needed to, regardless of the screen reader that was running on the other end. I could have made configuration changes to that screen reader if I had needed to, and everything that I did was audible to the user on the other end with the screen reader that was running at the time. If you'd like to learn more about this powerful tool and maybe even get yourself a 15-day trial, you can certainly do so by contacting us either by phone or by email. You can send an email to rim-ram@serotech.com. Or you can give us a call at 612-246-4818 and choose the Enterprise Sales option.
Hey, let's check out this phone call here on the Blab line. Very interesting from Harry. Let's take a listen.
Hi there, this is Harry from Michigan. Our county library, they're very interested in System Access to Go. What I'm wondering is, what do you do for clients who have no keyboard use of their hands? They can't use their hands at all. What can be done for them using Windows XP? Our library has all Windows XP computers, and we've got clients here that have no hands ability. Their hands just don't work. They can't use keyboards. So it'd be nice if in one of your upcoming Sarah Talks you could do a segment on what can be done for those folks using SA to Go.
Harry, let me address the first part of that, I guess. SA2Go, we're very excited that libraries are interested in using it. It is something that they can always post up information for the product, but SA2Go is certainly not a better option than installing System Access on local library computers. First of all, it just doesn't make sense because in most libraries you have to log in or you have to do something. You can't just walk up to a computer and start using it. Not to mention the fact that it's against our license policy.
Start by explaining the differences between SA2Go, System Access, and SAMNet, because that does throw some people.
Well, System Access to Go is a screen reader that is pretty much the way we look at it is like a Kleenex. Use it when you need it and you throw it away when you're done. When you walk up to a computer in the public arena anywhere, whether it be at a friend's house, whether it be at a coffee shop, you simply go to it, you press the Windows key and R, you type www.sa2go.com, and if Internet Explorer is the default web browser, then it's going to start talking right away, and you can just follow the instructions and have a screen reader that works right there for the duration of your web browsing session, not only for the web, but also for using on that computer. When you're done, you close the browser, SA2Go will prompt you to, and it will go away, and that's it. It's over with. You can opt to sign up for an account or not. The account, all it does at that point is it stores your user preferences, your speed and your pitch and all of that of your TTS and your punctuation settings. If you want to take that a step further, though, SAMNet is the System Access Mobile Network, and that is really the backbone of our technology. People ask us, are we a screen reader company? And I tell them, no, we're not. We are a web services company. We provide various web services, and that includes a screen reader over the internet. That's an important differentiation between us and other AT vendors who simply provide an AT solution, whether it be a screen reader or a magnification product. We actually provide services that use the internet as a vehicle to bring those services to you to give you accessibility anywhere. Our SAMNet service, the monthly service or the annual service, provides entertainment, email aggregation, social network integration through our socializer, over a million pieces of individualized content, which, Michael, you manage. Some is internally produced. A lot of it is aggregated from other sources. And yes, you can go out on the net and get this stuff by yourself, but we just put it in one nice little package that you can access anywhere. Through the SAMNet, we also provide access to many mobile devices where you can download our content to, and there's more to come in the future. And that is a paid service that's $129 a year or $14.95 a month, and you do not have to own our screen reader to use it. Simply just sign up for that service, and if you have JAWS, WindowEyes, HAL, NVDA, what have you, or nothing at all, you can go ahead and use that service from anywhere. And the other thing, of course, that's part of the SAMNet is remote access to your home computer. And yes, you can get that included in the $129. The remote access from us, big difference between us and Tandem. First of all, we were there first, and whether that matters to you or not, the fact that Tandem only works with one line of products put out by one company is a problem. That is not 508 compliance by any stretch of the imagination. It is simply proprietary support for products that are only made by one company. On the other hand, our remote access products, all of them, work with any AT that's on the market, that being WindowEyes, it being ZoomText, it being JAWS for Windows, NVDA, any of these screen reader solutions that are out there. If you're doing a remote support service or a remote support session with our products, they will work with anybody. We don't believe in walled gardens that you can't get out of. We do believe in providing people a level of a walled garden that they can start working in, like a sandbox. But ultimately, we want to see you get out of the walled garden and out into the world and being able to enjoy the same level of accessibility and access that the mainstream does.
Between those two, you have System Access, the screen reader. Because it's important for people to understand, if you are using, and I heard a story of a gentleman who was told that he needed a very, very powerful computer to use SA2Go and went out and spent $3,000, so I'm sure he was taken right there from the start. But secondly, you don't need an overly powerful machine to use it. But more importantly was, well, I spent $3,000, now I don't have money to buy a screen reader, so I'm just going to use SA2Go. And that's not the design. That's not in the terms of service of the way that it's supposed to be used.
It's there for when you need it, you're in a bind, you need to maybe look up plane ticket info, or you use it briefly and you're done with it and it's gone. But if you find that you're going to be using this on a daily basis, whether you are a consumer or whether you are a library who has several blind patrons visiting you, at that point it's time to purchase System Access standalone and install on the computers, or do what many others have done. At a library in particular, I know they've had great success with purchasing System Access mobile and having several U3 keys on hand, and blind patrons just check those out just as they would a book. They're able to plug that U3 key in, use it at the library, and turn it in when they're done. And certainly if you're using a screen reader at home, not only is it against the terms of service to use SA2Go as a primary screen reader all day, every day, it's very inconvenient to do that as well. What happens when the internet goes down? You're not going to be able to work on a Word document either at that point, since SA2Go is dependent on the internet. Certainly, if this is something that you feel is worth using all day, every day, I think it's well worth paying the $3.99 or $4.99, which is half the competition, to get access to that.
And if not, if you don't want to do that, we offer several different packages where you can purchase the product over time. You can kind of pay as you go and rent the product if you want. You can have everything we have to offer for as low as $24.95 a month, including the screen reader, including all the text-to-speech voices. There's absolutely no reason why you should be stuck with a $1,000 screen reader for accessing a $300 or $250 computer. As far as the power, I mean, we run on netbooks. The netbooks are very low power.
So as we've mentioned in a previous tech chat, you can get a netbook, and we have a special Atom license for $149 to go with that machine. So for $500 or even less, you can have a computer with a licensed copy of a screen reader. And what Ricky was talking about for $399 gives you two licenses, meaning you can put it on two computers, which you can switch up at any time. Do it all yourself. You don't have to call the company or fight with them about keys. But on your original question about what to do if a person comes in with the inability to use their hands, there is an option known as voice recognition, also referred to by some as speech recognition. This is built in to Windows Vista and Windows 7. Now, yes. You could take your XP machines and set them up to do this, but you're talking about buying a screen reader. You're talking about buying Dragon Naturally Speaking. And if you go the route of doing it with JAWS, then you might be buying a package called JSAY.
So, excellent package, by the way.
Right, it's
an awesome package,
product.
But it's expensive.
It is. Yeah, yes to both. It's awesome, and yes, it's expensive.
But for that same price, you could buy two or three computers. So I guess where I'm going is, Harry, what you really need to advocate for is to get a dedicated Windows 7 machine in there because it has the built-in speech recognition. And here's just a little sample of what will be coming up in 2 weeks when we show you the power of navigating the computer with your voice.
Desktop.
Double-click Word.
Word size 13.7 KB, item type, short document, one Microsoft Word, blank.
Hello, comma.
Hello.
My name is Michael, period.
My name is Michael.
How are you today?
How are you today?
I love speech recognition.
I love speech recognition.
It is the best way to communicate.
It is the best way to communicate.
Especially if you are a lazy typist.
Especially if you're a lazy typist.
Like me, period.
Like me.
What kind of music do you like?
What kind of music do you like?
Question mark. I love rock and roll.
I love rock and roll.
So put another dime in the jukebox, baby.
Support another dime in the jukebox, baby.
How do I?
Search help, editable text, in.
Speech.
Common commands and speech recognition. You can print this topic for quick reference while you're using Windows speech recognition.
Press Alt F4.
Document 1 Microsoft Word.
Press Control A.
Select an entire document.
Press Delete. Purchase system access for only numeral $399, period.
Purchase system access for only $399.
I am still new at this.
I install new weapons.
That's funny.
That's funny.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
Our CEO is Mike Calvo.
Our CEO is Mike Calvo.
Press Enter.
Paragraph marker.
By the way, Michael, I wanted to mention that, you know, one of the reasons that a public location would consider going with system access with a Serotech product versus any other product out on the market is we have no SMAs. And I can't tell you the number of times I've been to a public place. We have a computer here with the screen reader on it. It's a JAWS version 6.0 or, you know, JAWS version 4.5. And unless you keep that SMA up and going, it's going to be very expensive to upgrade it later, number one. Number two, it's going to be very difficult to find somebody in that library that knows how to even do that stuff. A lot of these places just buy the stuff, put it there, and if you know it, you know it. And if you don't, you don't. That's my biggest problem with any library that's going to put up this kind of stuff. It's great. It's a wonderful thing that you're doing it, but you need to keep up with the latest and greatest. I'm certainly not an advocate of SMAs, but if you are going to go with one of these products, you do need to keep them up to date. There are not a lot of features, in my personal opinion, for example, into the new JAWS. There's not a lot of new features that are compelling. JAWS is keeping up with Windows 7 and with Office 2010. And if you're going to be using these products and you are a JAWS user, much rather than pay the higher tax, if you get out of SMA, I would strongly recommend that you continue with your SMA. Thing we've chosen to do as a company is, you know, whether you're a JAWS user or not, if you're a Serotech product owner, you're not going to get any SMAs here. I guess for the record, we are not out to be anybody's primary product only. We don't believe that the universe revolves around Serotech. Like any business, make good products for our customers. So we are not advocating that people throw away their other screen readers, because JAWS has its merits, WindowEyes has its merits, HAL has its merits. All of these products that were certainly on the scene before we were, they're great products. They have their shortcomings in some respects, and some things that are being done of late with Braille drivers and things like that that I personally don't agree with. And I think I speak for a lot of people in the industry. Besides that, if these are what you use for your job, hey, keep them up to date. Make sure you pay for the SMAs. Don't pay more than you have to. And if you wait on those things, you do. If you're a public place and you want to provide consumer level access that doesn't require scripting, that isn't using specialized applications, that's just using things like Office and the internet, so library patrons can get what needs done, I would suggest you look at system access products. They're economical and they're self-maintaining. It's just one of those things where you set it and forget it.
My other point is, if these people do not have any use of their hands, even if not in the library environment, it would seem like they should be able to get some assistance from some state rehabilitation service to equip them, because not only do you have voice commands, but what if their disability maybe impairs their speech as well? There are gesture-based or eye movement-based technologies, so there are some options that they should be able to use in their home as well. And hopefully you have knowledgeable people in the part of Michigan where you reside to assist and fitting them with technology that's going to give them accessibility to computers and the internet to help improve the quality of their life.
So I guess it's up to me. So until next time, everybody stay connected. And what is it? Stay directed, stay connected, stay affected, infected, all of that. Whatever it is, keep listening, people. Don't forget about us, please.
You've been listening to Serotalk. Visit us at www.serotalk.com. Send us an email at resources@serotalk.com or leave us a voicemail at 866-997-BLAB-2522. We may read your email or play your voicemail in the next podcast. Join us in 2 weeks as we explore all the internet and life has to offer. Until then, may you have an accessible digital life.